Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 8th episode of the Mongalogue podcast. This is going to be unedited, unfiltered, just a special treat for you guys. Not really. It's just because I haven't had the time to just sit down and record this, the way I normally would in front of my professional setup, quote unquote professional setup, and the time for editing and all that jazz. Excuse the background noise. This is going to be a very, again, unfiltered, unedited podcast. But I didn't want to just not release an episode. I hate to make you guys wait longer than you should, and it's already been quite a while. So we'll see how successful this is. I might just scrap the whole thing because I'm not satisfied with it. But this is going to be a test of how well I can speak at College of Communications courses, putting them to work a little bit. So this week's episode's on Dr. Stone, as I announced at the end of last week's episode, which I definitely encourage you to check out if you're looking for something a little different, because most of the manga that I've covered so far have been of the shonen demographic, which is just like young boys, I guess, is the best way to explain it. And Dr. Stone is no different. It's part of the Shonen Jump magazine. It's currently running in that magazine. Viz is publishing it, and currently there are two volumes out, with the third one scheduled to come out January 1st, and the second one, I think, coming out the month after. Or, I'm sorry, the fourth one coming out the month after that. So I am currently two volumes in. I read both volumes, and just to give you a little bit of perspective on how much I've read, I'm pretty much caught up, well, at least with the English official book releases, not so much the Shonen Jump chapters, though I'd love to get caught up because I'm really, really enjoying this series. It's it's like in a post-apocalyptic, oh man, that's a tongue twister, it's a post-apocalyptic, oh my gosh. This is stuff that normally would be edited out, but you guys are just going to hear me fumble and stumble through this. It's a post-apocalyptic story. After all of the humans on the Earth and sparrows, I believe. There's a narrative reason for that, probably, but I just haven't gotten the answer for that yet. But all the human population on Earth and sparrow population have been turned to stone. And you're not sure why, but that's the basic setup. And, so and so many years later, they do give a specific amount in the manga. I just forgot. I think it's like over 3,000 years later. One kid emerges from the stone. And he starts trying to basically rebuild civilization. He's very intelligent. He considers himself a scientist. He knows a lot about just like how to start a fire, like a lot of survival information that makes it perfect that he's the first one to wake up because he can actually do something to save humanity, hopefully. It's not much of a spoiler to say that other people do wake up or, they become freed from the stone later. So you do meet other people and some conflict does arise as a result, because as with, any post-apocalyptic story, when there's no one to, make the law, there's nobody to enforce the law or, govern, things can get, a little chaotic when there's conflicting opinions about how things should progress forward. But yeah, you have our main protagonist who's just trying to do the right thing and rebuild. He's got a little bit of a jump start on rebuilding civilization because he has that pre-existing knowledge already, and he knows what needs to be built first in order to kind of get a jump start on this whole endeavor that he's setting out to do. But yeah, so as I mentioned before, the main conflict arises when... So survival's not too much of an issue for him because he's a genius and he survives well enough on his own. But, as he's, as he frees more and more people, that's a greater cause for more and more conflict. And one of the people that he does end up freeing, it kind of turns around on him in a negative way because the guy that he frees doesn't cooperate. He's basically going around destroying these stone statues of people, which is basically, essentially murdering them, because he's concerned about, you know, if, you know, certain people are brought back into this life, then there, things will happen the way they've always happened in history, where people will war over control and so on and so forth. So he only wants to bring back to life a select few. And that's his philosophy about it, just to avoid further future conflicts and future war and stuff like that. But he, you know, he's morally, what he's doing is wrong. He's murdering these people. They're technically not dead. They're being preserved by this stone. And as long as they have a way to, free them from the stone, he's basically denying them that chance of being reborn. Or I shouldn't say reborn, freed, you know, alive again. They're not dead. It's kind of hard to explain. So that's the setup. That's the conflict. This is a weekly series and in Shonen Jump, and it just amazes me, the quality of the art. It's just spectacular. This world is so interesting because you have a world taking place, you know, several thousand years after humanity is basically, you know, perished or has been inactive. So it's this very beautiful, just totally encased by nature. All the backgrounds are just like a lot of foliage and just beauty. It's, you know, when it shows the character first waking up, it's like he's waking up in the Garden of, you know, and like the Bible, like the Garden of Eve or Garden of Eden, whatever the heck, I forgot what it's called. I should probably know that. So it has a very reminiscent of that feel, just like a beautiful place, just full of nature. But the character designs are just so interesting. Like the characters themselves have like these, when they're released from the stone, they have these permanent scars on their face from being encased in stone for so long. But it makes them look really cool. Like it's very unique. And that alone, just those like black scraggly scars across their body already give them a unique look. But the characters themselves are just so like, they're not always detailed. Like they do deform into like these chibi versions of themselves for, you know, when played for comedy. But when things get very serious and you get these really just dramatic close-ups and or very intense situations where the emotions are high, you just get these like amazing, like just jaw-dropping, like bold panels with these characters' faces and or in their hair and their makeshift clothing. It just all looks really, really neat. And the characters are like super attractive, like conventionally attractive, I guess. You know, the guys are just like ripped. You don't see much of the scientist dude, but like his friend that he frees from stone, he's just like this burly, you know, not super intelligent dude, but like he uses his strength because that's something he lacks in. He's got the brains. His friend is the strength of the operation. You know, eventually they start freeing more people. Like the girls are like super, well, the girl that they end up freeing, you know, she's like super busty, of course, because this is, you know, this is aimed at young boys. They try to give the reader a bit of eye candy. That's typically how things go. And her eyes are like super, like super detailed eyes. Her like shiny, like thick eyelashes. It's like sparkly. She has like almost to the point where her face doesn't even look realistic. It just looks like. That's one thing I kind of criticize. Like the characters are attractive, but the guys have like normal anime eyes, but like this girl has like these really like hyper detailed, but like also extremely exaggerated in the way that they're detailed eyes that kind of make it look like more like a doll than a human. It's kind of weird, but that said, the characters, like the villainous character that they play up in this manga, he's just really cool. He gives me like a Sephiroth kind of feel. Like he's just like, you know, tall, like long-limbed, muscular, with long hair, just like this impenetrable force, and just like, just seeing him on the page sometimes, like he is this menacing force, like he's very intimidating. And they get a little bit into why, you know, why they freed him and why, you know, he looks that way and so on and so forth, like, or what they used to describe him as when they were going to school together. Again, also I forgot to mention all these kids that. The scientists are freeing, and I say all, but it's only been three so far. They all went to the same school as him, so they all know each other, not totally intimately, but enough that, you know, they know each other's names. They've seen each other run. The two main or best friends, though, he freed his friend first when he got freed from the stone. And I'm trying to leave these big pauses brief because I'm not going to be able to have time to go back and edit this. So here's me just adding some filler talk. Let me think. So I got into the art and the story, the characters. It's been pretty simple. Okay, so that's one thing. The world. Okay, so back to the world. The mangaka clearly did his research, and he actually cites his sources in the English translation. Like, I think after the table of contents, or like maybe at the end credits of the manga, he does show the list of references. Some of them are actually like by American authors, and one of them I've definitely heard of because I think it was called The World Without Us or something like that. And it was a book that just kind of, I think, takes place, or it would tell you scientifically what would happen if, you know, humanity just disappeared. Like, what would happen, you know, nature-wise? What would happen to the Earth after we've left? And, like, you know, it'll tell you, like, how certain things will just collapse and, you know, how the nature will just take over the streets and buildings and so on. Like, that's basically, it's envisioning a future where without us, if we were just to suddenly disappear. And so that was listed as one of the mangaka's sources, which I thought was really neat. And the reason why I knew the title of that book is because I played this game called The Last of Us, and that's one of the books that they used for reference, I believe. And I remember them mentioning that in like interviews or something like that, or maybe I just read it on a Wikipedia page, but I thought that was really cool. So he has quite a few references, and you can learn quite a bit. Like, everything that he, the mangaka puts in the manga, all the science, has been researched. And so you learn a bit while reading this manga, which is pretty neat. So it's like this survival post-apocalyptic, but you know, it kind of maintains still like a light-hearted tone. It's not totally like a dismal reality. Like, there's a possibility of characters being killed, of course. But things get resolved rather quickly. Like, any major conflict that pops up usually gets resolved. I don't know. This has the potential to go on for a while, as most post-apocalyptic stories do. But also, because of this scientist dude, like, it's not going to be like an endless story, kind of like The Walking Dead, where it seems like they're going to take forever to actually finally rebuild, to get to the point where they're going to rebuild civilization, because they just keep running into opposition, because humans just are cruddy when there's no one there to govern them and tell them what to do, and there's nobody to stop them from fulfilling their selfish desires. In this case, it seems like they're a little more cooperative outside of this one guy, and I'm sure more people will be freed in the future, and that might cause more conflict. I'm very curious to see how this manga goes. With all the research that's involved, I trust that the mangaka is going to do a great job just like showing how the world can be rebuilt from scratch. It's pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting spin on it, because you have this guy that has all this knowledge, and he knows how to like cooperate with other people, use their strengths to make this vision a reality, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I think that's all I had to say. I don't want to go too in-depth on any spoilers or anything, or any backgrounds of the characters. That stuff you can read for yourself when you pick up the manga. Again, I read it digitally. I always say again, even though I never said... That's one thing I apologize for in my podcast. If I say, like, again, that's, like, one of my vocal tics, I guess. I say again, even though I didn't say it before. And sometimes it's a result of editing where, like, I might have said something, and then I edited that out, but you guys don't know that. So when later I repeat what I edited out, you're like, what? Why is he saying again? Did he mention that already? You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I apologize for that if it confuses you. You don't have to scrub back and see if I actually mentioned it or not. It's just probably something I just said to say. As it stands now, I'm still researching some other manga that I want to cover, or manga I want to cover for technically this week, because I'm late on this episode. It would normally be like this Friday, though I've been bouncing back between days. It's usually the end of the week before the weekend. And I haven't chosen one quite yet, but actually, you know what? I'm trying to think while I'm still live. this is totally like off the dome, unfortunately. I'm sorry I wasn't more prepared, but I didn't want to leave you guys without an episode. I think next week's episode, or this week's episode, the next episode of this podcast is going to be on Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball is a pretty huge series, and it probably doesn't need any introduction, But I'm still gonna, there's always somebody who hasn't really taken part of it. And I'm talking about from the beginning. I'm not talking about Dragon Ball Z. I'm talking about the original Dragon Ball where Goku is a child, because I've read all the entirety of that, all like 14 volumes or something. And I'm currently working my way through Z. So I think that's actually a good one to cover. Don't have a parting gift, or, you know, and parting gift is just a name that I borrowed from the DLC podcast, but it's basically like your recommendation to do for the week. Mainly because I just don't have one prepared, and I'm trying to do this quickly because I have a lot of things to do. This week I'm going away, so hopefully I can actually get that podcast episode out on time. It might be while I'm out walking the dogs or something, so you guys might have a little bit of background noise this Friday when I record again. It might be a little bit of an untraditional episode, kind of like this one was, but I want to make sure that I don't skip any weeks and that you guys still get, you know, this content. But yeah, thank you for listening, and apologies for the audio quality this episode. For those who are just tuning in, this isn't normal, of course. It's just one of my unfiltered episodes, I guess. But yeah, that was Dr. Stone. Next week is Dragon Ball. And thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you guys later.